Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
How y'all doing on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving? Stores are packed. I'm convinced people took off today as much as they took off tomorrow. I think most people took off both days, because I'm getting text messages saying, hey, this store is packed. Hey, this store is packed. Oh, you should see the sales on at this store. I was like, I'm working, man. What good are you doing? Why are you telling me this for? I can't do anything about these sales going on at all these stores all over the place. Maybe that's the play. Maybe the play now is because Black Friday is no longer Black Friday, right? I mean, it's not stand in line outside for 4 hours and wait to go inside. Those were the days, Tommy. I mean, stand outside of Target for like 3 hours waiting to get the big screen TV for little to no money, and then go inside and take advantage of whatever else may be there.
I feel like I am the last generation of malls were cool.
Right? I love malls. I still love malls.
I mean, malls are just sad every time, it feels like, now, and not the same, but malls were the place to be. And I remember, like, my parents being like, you're not allowed to go to the mall on Black Friday. Like, this is craziness all the time. And sure enough, like, now I feel like you can go to the mall on Black Friday and it won't be that crazy anymore.
I don't know. The mall I go to has been seriously busy for like the last month with all the sales going on. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, all of these different sales are going on so far ahead of time, and so many people buy online. That also takes some people out of the stores.
Cyber Monday.
It feels like there's a lot of people out shopping this year. All right, joining us now, he's not out shopping. He's hanging out with us right here. He is Eli Berkovitz from the Packer Report. Follow him on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL. Joins us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Follow us on YouTube, on X, at WI Sports Radio as we live stream it. You can see Eli Berkovitz dressed in all black. What is the meaning of you dressing in all black, Eli?
It is not a bad omen. Just, you know, running around today, kind of rainy weather here in Chicago. So threw on my trusty black hoodie. And then this was just the closest cap to where I was sitting that I just threw on here. But feeling good. Definitely not feeling in a dark mood today after probably the most stress-free Packers game of the season. So I'm feeling good. I'm looking forward to Thursday, though, obviously.
So probably the biggest game of the year. If you're Jordan Morgan, are you in a dark mood?
Yeah, I think Jordan Morgan. I mean, to give him some credit, it's not fair. Like, he's not a right guard, right?
No.
Like, he didn't play then in college. Yep. We drafted him to be a left tackle. Rashid Walker happens to be better than him right now, a left tackle. I think if you give Morgan the chance next year to compete a left tackle, maybe we're talking about him differently. But he just isn't a right guard, and I think it's okay to accept that and play someone else there, likely Anthony Belton. Like, why force that on him? You didn't draft him to be a guard, and it's like we need him to work a guard. You draft him to be a tackle. He's not a guard. It's not an indictment on him as an overall player. So just stop trying it.
But wasn't his versatility, like, a huge part of why they drafted him? And isn't that something that Goody looks at also, where, you know, look at a guy like Zach Tom, where he's just played every position, and I don't want to compare him to the best player at the position, maybe. Even Anthony Belton has been playing a little bit of tackle, a little bit of guard here. Like, does it not feel a little bit forced with Jordan Morgan? When we talked about it at the beginning of the year with Mitch Nellis and Mason Crosby, it was, you can write Jordan Morgan's name in Sharpie, but you don't know where to write it on that offensive line. It's not in pen. It's not in pencil. They've just been forcing themselves to maybe figure out what they have, or they think he's one of their best five guys. Like, it feels a little forced at this point, Eli.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, I think they're trying to justify drafting him in the first round. And like you said, the versatility, but it was one of those things where we were projecting the versatility as opposed to some other players we drafted that we saw in college play at different spots. And I think Morgan played a little bit at guard in college, but number one, it was left guard, not right. But he really wasn't. He was really a left tackle. And they were projecting that versatility, but sometimes you just can't, they just don't do it. Like, we happen to have gotten lucky with Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom and players like that, where you could move them all over. But if Jordan Morgan can't do that, again, I don't think that makes him a terrible player. It just makes him a left tackle. Make it work a left tackle, or it doesn't work. And look, it was a wasted, bad first round pick, and it is what it is. But to try to force him in at right guard, to be like, oh, well, we drafted him first round, we got to play him no matter what. Like, you don't go and take a busted, you know, cornerback and be like, well, we got to play him, so let's just play him at safety and hope that works. Like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm not saying he's over, because we haven't seen him really get a shot at left tackle. But at right guard, I don't know how you could continue to trot him out there. I think Belton gives you a much better shot right now.
I agree. But guys, I mean, this is a Ted Thompson thing. I'm not even putting this on Goody. He's just doing what his mentor did before him. The Packers have been doing this crap with the offensive line for as long as I can remember. They've been doing this. This isn't something new. What I don't like is the term, well, they got lucky. I don't think they got lucky. They drafted these guys convinced that they could do what they are doing with them and moving them all around. I think that's a feather in the cap of Brian Gutekunst, of knowing the players that would fit and mesh and move along that offensive line if need be, kind of going forward. If they thought Jordan Morgan was only a left tackle, there is zero chance they're drafting that cat there at the end of the first round. It's just not happening. But I can take you back to the times of Dom Capers and those guys. We draft Nick Perry, down defensive lineman. Stand up, Nick. We're going to teach you how to be a 3-4 linebacker. You had Aaron Campman's hand in the ground his whole career. We're switching. Stand up, Aaron. Let's see if you can do this. I mean, they've been doing it on both sides of the ball for so long. It's not even remotely surprising at this point when they decide to do it. Now, let's get to where I want to go to on this. Josh Jacobs, really good running back, no doubt. Your guy, Tommy Wirtz, who also you could see on X and YouTube right now. No polo today, sorry, folks. But he is right there. And that dude has been the president of the Manuel Wilson fan club since last year. Dude, play this cat. He's got some explosion. Play him. And this year, he's been all over in the Green Bay Football postgame show with me saying about Emmanuel Wilson. How good, Eli, do you think Emmanuel Wilson might be here? Is he a starting running back somewhere else in the league if he's not in Green Bay? Is he good enough to get 10 to 15 carries going forward if and when Josh Jacobs comes back? Like, how good is he? Or is he just a nice backup running back?
I kind of lean towards a really nice change of pace back. Like, I'm a big Emmanuel Wilson fan since we first saw him. I feel like last year and during the Malik Willis games, especially against the Titans, he had a pretty big game. He had that receiving screen touchdown, and he clearly has some juice to him. And he, again, like Jacobs, I feel like last year was definitely more explosive, but obviously this year he's been dealing with the calf injury, now the knee. Like, I do think Jacobs isn't at 100% right now. But Emmanuel Wilson, yes, there are certain teams I'm sure he would be the starter and would probably be pretty solid. But as good as he was on Sunday, I wouldn't say it was the most it was efficient in the fact that outside of Matt LaFleur choosing to run the ball on third and short multiple times in a row and getting stuffed, other than those runs, he was picking up positive yardage on nearly every run. But I don't know if he necessarily has the kind of gear where it's like, you know what, this is the kind of guy we want to give 18 carries a game to. Obviously not with the Packers, but Josh Jacobs being there. But no, I'm a big Emmanuel Wilson fan, and I think once Jacobs back, he should still see, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 10 carries, depending on how the game's going.
I mean, like, he did have 100 yards after contact. Like, again, I don't think the offensive line played all that well for him either. I think he was creating a lot of these opportunities that he got against Minnesota last week. And we've been saying the same thing about Josh Jacobs all year. Like, everyone's wondering, oh, has he lost a step? It's like, no, actually, the offensive line is really not going in a positive direction at all this year. And it feels like that is going to be a hindrance on the run game all season long until they figure it out at that point. Eli Berkovitz, Book of Eli, joining us. Book of Eli underscore NFL on Twitter if you want to follow him along from the Packer Report. What about in the pass game right now, if you want to relate it back to the offensive line? But Jordan Love didn't have to do a whole lot against the Minnesota Vikings. I think Matt LaFleur kind of understanding that they had the game in control, and they didn't really need him to do anything fancy during that. But how is his role going to change against Detroit in their offensive approach and for Matt LaFleur in your mind, Eli?
Yeah, I think you have to have Love in a game like that, have him slinging the ball. Doesn't mean completely go away from the run, but there are certain teams you're not going to be – I think they ran the ball 42 times against the Vikings. Like, you're not beating the Lions with 42 runs. It's just not going to happen. Obviously, yes, Love dealing with the separated shoulder. It made sense for them to be conservative. I'm not going to pretend like it didn't drive me nuts at times where I felt like there were multiple chances where the Packers could have just ended that game, no doubt about it. 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, run up the middle, stuff. And I think it was 3 consecutive possessions. I think 2 resulted in field goals. 1 was a punt. After the Isaiah McDuffie interception, right? It's like, okay, here we go. Dagger touchdown, game over. And yes, you could say the game was already over anyway. But
I think that's what LaFleur thought. He also thought the game was over. Yes.
But you know what? Like, as bad as J.J. McCarthy has looked, it happens to be the fourth quarter is the only part of his game where he's looked decent a couple times. I think it was really both Bears games. But if there was any chance of anything, like, you put up a touchdown after that Isaiah McDuffie interception, you're done, game over. You could pull the starters. It doesn't even matter. But instead, it's run, 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 up the middle, stuff, punt. After an interception in Vikings territory, it's like, I just don't think that can happen. It definitely can't happen against the Lions. So it's going to be big, though, like you said, the offensive line, it just has to play better. Like, I think a big part of why Jordan Love's numbers are down, the offense in general just has not gotten in any kind of flow or rhythm, it's the offensive line. You cannot run an effective offense in the NFL when you have no time to throw and you're not creating any kind of room for your runners. Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson have to do everything, dodging guys in the backfield, breaking tackles in the backfield, just to pick up 3 or 4 yards. That's not a sustainable way of going. So I'm hoping with Aaron Banks seemingly healthier, playing a little better the last couple weeks, Sean Ryan, look, I love Elton Jenkins, but I think we can all agree the center move did not really work. Like, he was a center in college, right? So I think everyone assumed play him at center in the NFL, he'll be great. It did not work. He was really, really not playing well, Elton Jenkins. I think Sean Ryan has been better at center than Jenkins was. And then if Belton can take that right guard spot and solidify it, I think that changes everything, because I'm not so worried about Tom and Walker. Walker hasn't been great, but I think if you get the interior of the offensive line mauling people, those are 3 big guys, Banks, Ryan, and Belton, heavy dudes. You can start running the ball up the middle. You can start the play action. Jordan Love will have some time to look downfield. It really all starts with the offensive line for me. So I'm just, again, I'm hoping we see Belton out there on that first drive and no more rotations. Like, unless Belton is just awful early in that game, I'm so over the rotation stuff.
I'm with you. Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report. Follow him on X at Book of Eli _NFL. Can this Packers team get to where they want to be without any involvement from the tight end position for the most part going forward? Because that's kind of seems where we're going.
Yeah, it's really bad. Like, I wrote a piece for Packer Report last week, you know, kind of highlighting Josh Wiley, saying, you know, maybe he can be the guy. Maybe, you know, he was more productive in college as a pass catcher than Luke Musgrave, which I don't think a lot of people realize. He was a 5th-round pick. Musgrave was a 2nd-round pick.
Right.
And he was a better pass catcher than Musgrave, or at least more productive in terms of statistics. So I do think if there's anyone who can maybe just do something, be a 4-catch-for-40-yard kind of guy. Like, obviously no one on this roster is giving us what Kraft gave us, but someone needs to just be that short yardage kind of safety blanket for Love. But also, when you have as many receivers as the Packers have, now obviously they have to get healthy, but I think we're going to see Golden on Thursday. I think we'll see Reed. If not Thursday, we'll see him next Sunday. you have all these receivers. You can use them, yes, not like a tight end in line, but you could use them in that shorter area over the middle of the field. Like, you have so many options where if none of these tight ends separate themselves, just play more four wide receiver sets and have the tight end stay in line, maybe chip block, roll out into the flat if you're desperate. But I think offenses could get by in the NFL without a good tight end when you have the kind of receiving group and the running backs that the Packers have. So it obviously sucks to lose Kraft, and it's disappointing that Musgrave has just shown nothing. Like, he's essentially still tight end three without Kraft, which is wild. But I do think there's enough talent at receiver they could get by.
Eli, the best game of the year for this Green Bay Packers team until maybe this past week was the very first week of the season against this same Detroit Lions team. It was Micah Parsons' debut. The offense looked great. It was their first streak of all they have to do is score 27 points, and then they're going to be fine the rest of the day. But it feels like both teams are at a completely different spot now than they were in week one. It's a huge game in which the winner of this game will now be in second place in the NFC North with a chance for Green Bay to move up to the first place if things go right for them in the Bears game. But what is the difference now from that week one game to this now Thanksgiving Day game between that Lions game? Because I don't really weigh much of it. It feels like week one is always weird. Micah Parsons, I think, could be more productive even in this game because he's now a little more acclimated to this team. But what are some of the key differences that you see from week one against Detroit versus Thursday upcoming now?
I think the biggest difference by far is the Lions play calling situation, where week one they had the new offensive coordinator, no more Ben Johnson, and it didn't surprise me that it didn't look great to start the season for the Lions offense. They were getting used to it. It wasn't really working, and now Dan Campbell took over, and he has his, you know, deficiencies as well, but I do think he has clearly ignited a bit of a spark in the offense, and they've been better. But at the same time, I also think the Lions defense has been more injured and worse. The secondary has been worse. I mean, they gave up 517 yards to the Giants last week. They were trailing most of that game. I'm not surprised they won, but they easily could have lost. It took Jahmyr Gibbs' unbelievable game to get them and win that game. So I think the biggest thing for the Packers is going to be to try to do what they do every week, which is hold the ball, limit possessions in this game. Don't let the Lions get hot. Don't let Gibbs get hot.
Oh. And so you're asking for them to run the ball like 30 or 40 times in this game. That's what you're saying then, Eli. We're right back to where we started the interview. And you said at the beginning of the interview, can't beat the Lions this way. And now I listen to you talk. It sounds like you're advocating for the same type of game plan.
I'm advocating for a more balanced. Again, I don't think you can do it with 35 plus rushes. But I also think you need to just do your best to keep the ball in the Lions' hands. And that doesn't necessarily mean running the ball over and over and over. We already know the Packers have a pretty slow pace of play. They're never really rushing, which I don't like either. I kind of wish they had some more tempo at times.
Agreed.
But, like, the Lions offense is the kind of offense there. Once they get going, it gets really hard to stop. We have St. Brown, you have Jameson Williams. Obviously, no Sam Laporta. That makes a big difference. Especially the Packers really struggle against tight ends. Laporta was the only guy week one who did anything against the Packers defense. So I do think that there's not enough of a difference between the two teams outside of health, but hopefully the Packers will be healthier by Thursday, that it should be like, oh, well, the Lions, you know, are railing off wins. Like, they're 7-4. They should have really lost to the Giants right there. Like, they could have easily been 6-5 right now, and they're in a whole different situation after looking very bad against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. So I still think the Packers definitely have a chance to win this game. I think it's just going to come down to the offensive line, and if Matt LaFleur is willing to kind of let his offense get in a rhythm.
I'll tell you what I want, and I know they're not going to do it. I want to bring the dogs at Jared Goff. I don't want to play this, oh, we're going to bring four and drop everybody back and see what happens. Jared Goff, don't move, man. He's a statue. Go get Jared Goff, man. Put Adrian Cooper over there by Micah Parsons. Bring them both from one side. Let's see how they handle it, right? Make sure that every time they drop back, somebody is hitting that cat. And from the other perspective of this, and something we can talk about now, is how do you approach this game? Like, do you go into this game going, if we stop Jahmyr Gibbs, we win? Is that the game plan? Or is the game plan coming in, if we get home to Jared Goff 6-7 times and rattle him, we win? Like, what's the game plan to beat this offense right now? Because you can You can play this defense a multitude of ways and still be very good because of the talent they have on this defense.
Yeah, for me, facing Goff, it's always pressure Goff. I just think when Goff early in a game, we saw it week one, when he's early in the game getting pressured, getting hit, having to move out of the pocket, he just sort of crumbles. Like we've seen it for years. We saw it in LA. We've seen it in Detroit. And it doesn't happen often because of the way they run their offense, especially with Ben Johnson. They were so good at getting the ball out quick, first read kind of stuff. But if you could force Goff to go to a second and third read and pressure him, he turns into a totally different quarterback. And the Packers happen to be, I think they give up the least amount of explosive runs in football right now. So my plan would be blitz Jared Goff. And yeah, you know what? If they're going to try to beat us on the ground, obviously Jahmyr Gibbs would be, you know, damn good at doing that. But I think their best shot would be force them to try to go ahead, try to run for 200 yards again against one of the best run defenses in football, as opposed to let's, like you said, play a little softer, let Goff. Like, I love Jeff Hafley. I think he's been phenomenal. But I do think his lack of blitzing, we saw some more blitzing versus the Vikings for sure. But I get it. You have Micah Parsons. You have Rashawn Gary. You have Devontae Wyatt. But sometimes you need more than a four-man rush. You just do. I'm not talking about every single play. But on third downs, I think they should be blitzing more. I think they just need to be a little more aggressive in that area, especially against a guy like Goff.
Prediction time, what do you got?
Maybe I'm just being a homer, but I do think the Packers right now have a very good shot. And I just think they're more of a complete team. Also, I do think it's worth mentioning, the Lions are coming off an overtime game where their defense played 83 snaps. The Packers' defense played 45 snaps. Like, that matters on a short week. That is going to matter on a Thursday night, on a Thursday game. So I'm going to go Packers. I think it'll be a little lower scoring than some of the other Packers Lions in the past. I'm thinking 24-21 Packers.
There he is, Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report. Follow him on X at @BookofEli_NFL. Eli, as always, thanks so much for coming on, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
We'll do so. There he is, Eli Berkovitz on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Always fun talking to Eli Berkovitz. I gotta say, I'm with him on this one. Like it to me, it feels like the Packers are the better football team as we sit here today, and where you don't really have a defensive deficiency necessarily, even with the cornerback position the way it is. Even if Keyshawn Nixon isn't going to play because of the way Hafley plays, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal or as big of a deal. And then offensively, I don't worry about them offensively. I just really don't. I think they can score enough points against this Lions defense. If the Giants did that with Jameis freaking Winston, you better assume that the Packers are going to at least throw up 24, 27 points in this game.
I don't know if I want to go all that exciting. I'm just in a different level of when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, it was, hey, they always got a shot because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And now my mind has shifted but feels the same energy and same way about, hey, this defense is unlike any other defense I've seen in my lifetime for the Green Bay Packers, and I know it will keep them in football games.
Correct. That's exactly right. Sports Talk on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays through the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So we had Sojourn Shelton, we had Eli Berkovitz. As always, if you ever miss anything, you can always go back and find this show on podcast form. What does that mean, Sparky? That means we take all the commercials out, right? So you don't have to listen to all the commercials. All the commercials come out, and you can find this very show by searching The Mason Crosby Show and download it wherever you download your favorite podcast at. Very, very important to do that. Also, you can also catch us live streaming on X and YouTube as well at WI Sports Radio. Got shorts on YouTube, got the videos, interviews, everything broken up on YouTube as well if you're more of a visual person. Coming up on the other side of this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to switch gears to a warm weather sport that doesn't get played in the fall and the winter necessarily. Well, there's fall, but for the most part, it doesn't. An interesting piece in The Athletic by Jim Bowden, former Major League Baseball general manager, about Freddy Peralta. And he throws out several trade scenarios that could work for the Brewers and other teams that would see Freddy Peralta leave the Brewers. Now, you and I both don't want to see the Brewers trade Freddy Peralta, I don't think. But would there be any return that feels better for the Brewers next year if they were to trade Freddy Peralta? We'll discuss that coming up next. Nicolay Law, talk a text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. And just know, if Tommy and I are on a show, we're going to cram Brewers in somewhere. I'm just telling you right now, it's Tommy and Sparky. There'll be Brewers somewhere in the show. That's going to happen. Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.